Our study tonight is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 20 through 25, understanding the purpose of the sign gifts. Many evangelicals believe that God's spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, healing, working miracles, and prophecy that he gave in the early church, he is also giving to believers today. That would be people in the charismatic movement hold to that persuasion. However, no use of those gifts, as described in the New Testament passage about them, exists today. And we view 1 Corinthians 14, 20 to 25 to understand God's purpose in giving such gifts and why he does not give them now. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 20 and going to verse 25. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are insane? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, nor one who is unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Okay, the spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, healing, working miracles, and prophecy, as described in the New Testament record of the early church, do not truly exist today. And I'm doing this just by way of introduction so we can get a feel for what's going on. As we learned in this series, speaking in tongues and interpreting them involve supernatural abilities, respectively, to speak or interpret a Gentile language. Remember Acts chapter 2, 1 to 11? The people who were listening to this could actually name the languages in which they were speaking, Parthians, the Medes, and so forth, dwellers in Judea. They heard these people speak in these Gentile languages, and they understood what they were talking about. And there's no difference between the gift of tongues in Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The same word is used throughout. So these gifts do not exist today. We don't believe that the genuine gift of tongues exists today. Whenever allegedly people claim to be speaking in tongues, they may speak uncontrollably. Of course, that's not from the Lord, because the Bible says, we're going to learn that later in 1 Corinthians 14, that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. But they speak uncontrollably. It's not in a human language. In fact, many of these people will actually acknowledge that it's not a human language that they're speaking in. Now, the gifts of healing and doing miracles in the early church involved instantly, permanently healing and raising the dead. If you look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, these people were healing. Remember the lame man? He was healed. This is a lame man who'd been lame from his mother's womb. And Peter and John took hold of him, raised him up, and the man immediately received strength. And he was walking around jumping and praising God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 12, Paul preached a long sermon, went past midnight, and he was in the third story. And there was a young man who was sleeping in a window, kind of like one of these windows, apparently trying to get cool. And he went to sleep, and he fell out of the window, fell three stories, and they took him up dead. And Paul says, don't worry about it. Paul stretched out on him, just like I think the prophet Elijah did many years before Elisha. He stretched out on his body, and the man came back to life, and they took him back up completely whole. So he had died, and Paul actually raised this man from the dead. Well, there's no such gift that exists today. There's nobody who's raising the dead. There's nobody. Now, I mean, there are people who have acted like healers, and these healers will go, and they'll kind of bop someone on the head, and they get up, and they kind of walk around for a little bit. But what's interesting is, if you do a study, there was a man who did a study in Portland, Oregon, when one of these healers came by, and he did a study, and 4 or 5 weeks afterwards, all the people who allegedly had been healed were in a worse condition than they were when they went to the healing meeting. Well, that's not what happens when God heals. You get over it, and that's it. You know, you throw away the crutches and a week or month, 2 months, a year from now, you're still doing fine. And in other words, you're completely healed. Well, the gifts of healing, therefore, and doing miracles are not occurring today. The gift of prophecy was the supernatural ability perfectly to predict future events. It's interesting, Deuteronomy 18:21-22 indicated that the gift of prophecy that God had, God says, this is how you tell the difference between a true and a false prophet. If a false prophet speaks, something that he says doesn't come true. In other words, you have to bat 1,000. You have to have every single one of your prophecies come true perfectly all the time to be of God. Now, you probably heard of the lady, a generation ago, there's a lady by the name of Jean Dixon who was predicting events. But her batting average is about 45%. In other words, the majority of her prophecies didn't come true. So she was a false prophet. And so the gift of prophecy was a supernatural ability perfectly to predict future events, with its content also being in perfect alignment with the body of truth that is already revealed. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, Paul said, "Let those who prophesy, prophesy according to the analogy of truth." A better translation would be according to the revealed body of truth. In other words, you can't have someone getting up and prophesying and then denying in that prophecy that Jesus is God come in the flesh and have that prophecy be of God. That's inconsistent with the body of truth that is already revealed. It has to be consistent with the truth that has been revealed. And it also has to, the person who's predicting has to bat 1,000. He has to have perfect a perfect record on his prediction. Well, this gift doesn't exist today. There are people who claim to be prophets, but they can't do that. Nobody has. So, these were sign gifts. They had a temporary purpose. So why? Why did God give gifts that were used only for a specific period of time and not throughout the history of the church? So God's purpose in giving these temporary gifts, we're going to find, was to signal to Israel her need to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, in the passage that we have in front of us, 1 Corinthians 14:20-25, it speaks specifically of tongues, so we'll deal with that first. The gift of tongues was given to clarify to Israel her need to repent and believe in Jesus. To explain God's purpose in giving the gift of tongues, Paul referred his readers to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, where Isaiah predicted that God would speak to Israel using Gentile languages. Now, in the context of that passage in Isaiah, God was asserting that due to the criticism of Judah's people over Isaiah's lecturing them as if they were children, God would, in discipline, speak to Israel with unintelligible Aramaic language of their Assyrian conquerors. It's interesting, we've already gone through the book of Isaiah in the prayer meeting services, but you'll remember that the people were saying, he's giving us just this baby stuff, line upon line, word upon word. And, you know, they just, go away, prophet. So Isaiah said, well, if you're going to critique the ministry of the prophet of God, then God is going to speak to you in a Gentile language that you don't understand. And he's going to preach and warn you accordingly. So God speaking to Israel in a foreign Gentile language was a sign of rebuke. And it indicated Israel's need to repent. And this idea is also present in God's warning in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. I'm going to look at that right here. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 49, in the Mosaic Covenant, God had told Israel that, here I'll read it, "The Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue or language thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either grain, or wine, or oil, or the increase of your cattle, or flocks, or your sheep, until he has destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates," and so forth. So this was a warning. Whenever God spoke to Israel in a language, there's a Gentile language, that was a warning to the nation Israel that they were in trouble. Well, tongues then served as a warning sign to the nation Israel to repent. And this explains the motivation of the Jews who listened to Peter's sermon to repent in Acts chapter 2. Remember in Acts chapter 2, 14 and 15, Peter preached to these people and he said, look, you've crucified the Messiah. And he's trying to explain why they're listening to these tongues. And he explained it to them. Of course, these are Jews. They knew all about Deuteronomy 28:40, verse 49. And in verses 37 to 38, they became very afraid. And they said, what must we do to be saved? We're afraid of, you know, an invasion from a foreign Gentile nation. We're in trouble. What do we do? And Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And repent and be baptized in the name of Christ. In other words, you're going to have to shift your faith over to Christ. And they did. And there were several thousand people who believed. But these Jews were afraid that they were going to come under judgment from God because they had crucified the Messiah. Well, yeah, they were in trouble. So Paul taught that tongues were to be interpreted in the church so that visitors uninformed of these Bible truths might not think that the Corinthian believers to be insane, but that they would heed their message. Notice verse 23, if therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, these would be Gentiles, will they not say that you're insane? See, this is one of the problems in the charismatic movement today when people are speaking in tongues like that. Unbelievers come in and they say, what in the world is going on? This is strange. We feel very uncomfortable. And unbelievers wouldn't know. And these are people who were actually using the genuine gift of tongues, but they weren't interpreting them. But Paul says, but if all prophesy, and when they prophesy, they're clarifying truth in the language they understand. And there come in one that doesn't believe or he's unlearned. He'll be convinced of all. He's judged of all. And thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Why? Because he understands the message and he comes under conviction. So tongues were something, the bona fide gift of tongues had to be used in such a way that people understood the message. The whole point was to communicate facts. Even God's giving the gift of tongues, in view of its Old Testament context, communicated facts to Israel. The fact was, we're in trouble and we need to repent. Otherwise, we're going to be judged. Now, the gifts of interpreting tongues, healing, working miracles, and prophecy were also sign gifts for Israel. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, this isn't in the King James, but it appears both in the New International and the English Standard Version, when God put the Holy Spirit on Israel's elders to equip them to help Moses administrate the nation, they prophesied, but they ceased doing so as it was a signed gift to Israel. In other words, the passage actually says they did it, but they didn't do it again. It was obviously a sign gift. So, and also, once the canon of Scripture is complete, there's no more need for prophecy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17 talks about how the Word of God we have, and all Scripture is breathed of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So, the Scripture thoroughly equips us. If the Scripture thoroughly equips us, and we have the canon of Scripture complete, there's no more need for prophecy. Why do we have to have prophecy? We're already complete with the Scriptures. So that's why we don't believe the gift of prophecy does exist or even can exist for today. Now, the gifts of performing miracles and healing in the early church were used to testify to Israel the credibility of Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus certified his messianic credentials by performing these miracles in his earthly ministry to fulfill Isaiah 35, 4 and 6, and Isaiah 61, 1. You'll remember, this is in Matthew 11, 2 to 6, when John's disciples came to Jesus and said, are you the Messiah or are we looking for someone else? And Jesus said, you go tell John that the dead are raised, the lepers are healed, the lame walk, the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's reference to Isaiah 35, 4 to 6 and Isaiah 61, 1. And when these miracles were performed, that was supposed to be proof to Israel that God was in their presence, namely the Messiah was there. Well, these miracles showed up in the early church. People were healed of lameness. Peter actually raised a little girl, Tabitha, from the dead. Paul raised a man from the dead, and so forth. These were signs to Israel. And Israel as a nation was still viable and still open to being to repenting and being converted to the Lord. Only at the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD would there be no more need for God to have the sign gifts. But until God judged the nation Israel, there would be every need to have the gifts. So these gifts certified Jesus and his messianic credentials by performing these miracles in his earthly ministry. However, after the AD fall, 70 fall of Jerusalem, there was no more need for these gifts as Israel's opportunity to repent regarding Christ was past and would not come again until the Great Tribulation. In Romans chapter 11, 25 to 27 says that Israel has been put aside temporarily, but God is going to turn to Israel again and minister to her in the Great Tribulation. And so you have this postponement of God's ministry with Israel. In fact, in support of this claim, there's a church father who was a leader in the early church, after the early church, Chrysostom. He lived in the 4th century. He was a theologian, and he testified that tongues had ceased so long before his time that no one was certain of their characteristics. And that's something. They didn't even have it in the 4th century. They didn't even know about it, which means it must have passed off just after the first generation of Christians. The second generation might have known about it, but the third and fourth, they didn't even know what was going on. So God gave the gifts of speaking in and interpreting tongues, healing, working miracles, prophecy to the early church to clarify to Israel, in light of her scriptures, her need to trust in Christ. When Israel's opportunity to repent as a nation was past and the canon of scripture was complete, there was no more need for these gifts, so God stopped giving them. So even in the early church, God gave these sign gifts solely to clarify his truth. The idea that somehow God gave gifts and you're not supposed to understand what is being said by the gifts is not true. Everything I read in scripture, God works double time to make his truth clear so people understand it, because he wants people to react to his truth. He wants them to respond to his truth. And God will bend over backwards to clarify the truth and make it simple. So may we realize that God's purpose in giving the early church the sign gifts was to clarify his truth about Christ to Israel. So may we use the gifts that God still gives us today to continue to clarify his truth to others. You know, I was thinking here, just as an illustration to the end here, the passage that we referred to in the lesson about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scriptures God breathed and is profitable and so forth, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. If scripture is all we need, how important is it that we make scripture understood? If we're not making scripture clear, then we're cutting people out, the hearers out, from understanding how they can live and do the works that please God so that they can be very productive. So it's extremely important that we work hard to make things clear, that we make them simple, and that we communicate the truth. This whole idea of tongue speaking and interpreting tongues in ways that do not communicate truth and clarify the truth of God's word to us, that's just not right. It can't be, because that works opposite what God wants. He wants his truth clarified. The tongues that he gave at the time were given because Israel understood what was going on with tongues. In fact, I've talked to some Jewish fellows, and they know the scriptures well enough, and they would say, and they've come to know Christ as their Savior, and they're convinced that this view is right, because as Jews, yeah, they understood Gentile languages, God speaking to Jews as Gentile languages, that's a sign of judgment. You got to repent. So may God help us to work very hard at making truth clear and simple so that people can really be edified and grow in Christ.